Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast, where top football coaches from around the country share their stories, philosophies, concepts, and strategies to help you get better on and off the field. Now, here's your host, Keith Grabowski.
It is week 6 in the leadership journey on USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. And joining me to take this journey through the season and talk about leadership, culture, and all the things that affect our team is our co-host, Brian Kite. BK, always great to be talking with you here on the podcast.
We say it every year, but now there is a little crisp in the air. I just got back from Madison, Wisconsin. Last night, I'm back home in Charlotte where it's going to be in the 90s. But Madison, Wisconsin, yesterday I woke up, it was 51. It was a little crisp in the air. Kind of felt that little bite, you know, and I was thinking to myself, man, this would be a good day to be stretching in warmups at 10:30 for a noon kickoff, you know, hustling down the field, feeling the faster you run, the little cooler that air goes against your face. But it's been a long time since you and I felt wind in our face through a face mask, you know?
Yeah, and it's been a lot longer for me, BK.
not a lot, but maybe a little bit.
Well, I mean, the face masks were different. I think back to my first face mask, Brian. It was the two-bar. It looked like I don't even know if all of our listeners who are younger will even know who this guy is, but Larry Zonka, right?
Of course.
I had a Larry Zonka-style helmet. It had the two bars, and then I had this little-shaped metal U-ring at the top.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite sure what that exactly was for, but it kind of looked
down. Was it, so did it go down or up? Did your U ring go up or down?
The U was down, like in front of, you know, your face right there. In fact, I have the U ring on my shelf here.
Did you ever have a plastic?
Plastic face mask? Yeah,
like
the
it.
Face mask was plastic.
Do you ever have the plastic where the actual face mask itself was plastic? Do you ever wear those?
That was the very first one, and I don't think I had a metal face mask till I was in maybe seventh grade. I finally got a metal face mask. But the first one was a two-bar plastic one. Suspension helmet. I don't think you know what that is, or you didn't wear one at least. So it was a suspension helmet. I had no air in the helmet. That hadn't been invented.
Nice. Yeah, I had plastic face masks for at least my first few years. I do remember it was a big upgrade, right? It was yellow helmets, bright yellow, like bumblebee color helmets with a gray face mask, right? The ideal football color right there. And I remember it was a big upgrade.
Everybody else had those, BK. They just gave those to the littlest guys. They gave them the plastic.
Well, everybody else probably got a regular face mask. They said, what can we do to this 60-pound nose guard? Let's give them a gray plastic face mask. Remember, it was a life-changing football moment when I got to upgrade to the red metal face mask. Big time. Big time. I got the Dion face mask. That was the thing.
There you go.
So obviously it made me play better. And, you know, my stats significantly improved when my face mask changed.
Hey, man,
everybody
the style is so important. And it's actually something we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about dealing with conflict, principle over style. And when I think of this, I mean, you know, the season always provides plenty of conflict. So we could go back to the beginning and back to the preseason and watching Hard Knocks and everything that has transpired since with AB. Certainly a lot of conflict to deal with there. And there's been the AB type players throughout, you know, the history, whether it was Randy Moss or, you know, Jalen Ramsey's another one right now coming to the front. And then we have issues like the transfer portal. We have issues at the high school level, parents in the stands. So a lot of things in football that really need this kind of conversation of how you deal with conflict. And is it principle or is it style?
Yeah, the simple thing, and this predates all of us, as all of you know. I really look for timeless struggles and timeless things that we can lean on to help guide us so that we're not getting caught in the BS of a modern world like some of our issues are new. And when you look at this debate in the midst of conflict, for so long we have tried to, I should say for so long humans, have struggled with reconciling style differences with principle differences. And, you know, I'll just go back to not that long ago, but let's go back to Thomas Jefferson. And Thomas Jefferson had a very good way of framing this. And he used if you're familiar with the term heuristic, heuristic is basically a fancy way for saying rule of thumb, right? And what a heuristic is it's a very simple guideline that isn't designed to be perfection. It's designed to help us make fast decisions so that we don't waste time debating things that are going to usually be right and will point us in the right direction or at least get us started. And so here was a rule of thumb or a heuristic that Thomas Jefferson said that I found to be extremely effective and a very good guidance at the high level. We'll talk about the high level and then we'll dig into some of the details and the struggles with it. But it's this: in matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. In matters of style, you might have said it the other way around. In matters of principle, stand like a rock. In matters of style, swim with the current. And what that tells me is what I think it ought to tell all of us. And that is, we've got to do the work to understand the differences between principles that we believe in, of which there are really not an endless list. It's a core list of principles. And for some people, they might only have really four that really matter to them. Others might have a dozen or 20. And the more you have, obviously, it's the more you got to remember. But you got principles. And then to recognize that for each one of our principles, there's dozens of styles that can be used to live out that principle. There's all kinds of approaches. What we want to look for as coaches is we want to look for, is the principle being fulfilled, even if it's in a style different than I like, or I use, or I would prefer? Is the standard being upheld, even if it looks different than me? And so I look at that and I just think we don't do a great job of that. Frankly, I think that's, you know, I think there's a ton of things that coaches do really well. Specifically, I think coaches do, you know, arguably the best job in America of continuing to drive principles into young people. I think the coaching profession, even beyond football, you know, there's very few professions that do a better job, a more heart-invested job of trying to drive principles into young people that, frankly, are kind of slowly being eroded or eradicated or weakened across our society. It's not doomsday, but you know, I don't think anybody would argue with the fact that society across the board, if you took sports away, we're not exactly driving toughness into people, right? That's not something that's increasing in society. And sports does a really good job, football in particular, of driving and teaching and pushing and promoting and training, you know, young men and young women in toughness. And that's a great thing. But the downside of that is that with driving those principles, a lot of coaches are also making the mistake of limiting people's style and confusing it with the principle. And so this is a good topic to discuss, especially when conflict shows up. Because when conflict shows up, everybody argues for their principle. If you watch most arguments in the sports world, revolve around style differences that people are trying to turn into principle differences. But most of the time, it's a style issue. But everybody tries to make it a principle issue.
Yeah, Brian, I saw that. You know, what came to mind right away was when the NFL came out with, we're banning these drills, right? And the response from coaches about, you know, you mentioned toughness. And certainly that's something that comes out in this game about, you know, oh, we're making this game soft. And, you know, really, it goes back to, you know, that you're holding on to things that we've shown there's some issues with it. We've shown that maybe it's not as good for player safety or health, but you're hung up on the toughness thing. And for you, for a long time, toughness was the principle and the style was those drills. And now you're being asked to let those go and you're fighting for the style rather than looking at, okay, this might be gone. How do I adjust? How do I continue to build toughness in my players? Because it's not that drill that builds toughness, right? There's a lot of other things and we could handle that at another time. But I think that's an example of exactly what you're talking about.
It's a great example. There's a lot of ways to build toughness. There's a lot of ways to be tough. There's all kinds of styles. Some people think that not talking about your problems is tough. It could be. But I would say this, what's harder, to hide your emotions or to show them and let everybody see exactly what you're going through, which is tougher for most people to do? Well, the point is, who cares? They're both tough. They're both hard. And so both of it's a style difference. Some people, coaches, right? Some coaches hide their tears and they hide all those emotions and act like they don't have them. And then there's guys like Dick Vermeil who show every emotion and they cry at a well-run trap. there's all kinds of different styles. And I'll give you another one that I see a lot. I see this on Twitter a lot. I heard this a lot. This was a big issue for basically my entire athletic career I observed. And it's still an issue, and it drives me up the wall when I see it because it's an immediate massive mistake. Coaches who say, don't talk about it, be about it. You know, talk less, do more. And it's not the headline that I have a problem with. It's that somebody believes or is promoting that somehow anybody who talks is violating a principle. It's like telling you shouldn't talk, or anybody who talks isn't really about it, or if you talk, you can't do. Look, of course I believe that. Hey, look, if we're debating between you either talk or you do, and those are the only two choices that you have, yeah, be a doer, right? Because why? Being a talker without being a doer, that's not going to work. That would violate a principle. But here's what I would say, because it's just true. There's not even a debate. Can you be a talker and a doer? Yep. The talking is a style issue. And it's really interesting. The only people I see saying that are people who are naturally not really comfortable talking. Because here's the thing. This is where the struggle comes between. Now watch this, ready? Because we've talked about this before on the podcast. Don't talk about it, be about it. Right? Be a doer, not a talker. Cool. You need to be a more vocal leader. If you're going to lead, you need to learn how to talk to your teammates and be more vocal. Which one do you want me to do, coach? You want me to be about it, not talk about it, or do you want me to be a vocal leader? Because apparently to be a leader, you got to be super vocal. Well, I'm not. So now you're asking me to do something that doesn't match with my style. You're asking me to be somebody that I'm not. This guy over here is actually a talker. He's got a lot of juice. He's wired to speak and express. And you're telling him that that's wrong. That's a bad thing to do. Do it. Shut your mouth and act. Which one am I doing? And so it's like, okay, don't talk about it, be about it, but also be a vocal leader, which means you got to talk. So you're screwed both directions. This is what happens when we start vaulting style over principle. The point is this. What's the principle? The principle is this. You've got to be great at doing. You have to live the standards you promote. You have to execute. You have to be willing to pay the price. You can talk or not talk. You can express emotion or keep it to yourself. You can encourage others or you can focus on yourself. You can go fast, you can go slow. You can be methodical or you can, you know, be super aggressive and make some mistakes. You can do all kinds of different styles, but you have to be a doer. That's the principle. To lead people, you can be vocal, you can be not vocal. You can show the way and pull other people to come with you and use a lot of words or not use a lot of words. You can lead people with emotion and anger and intensity, or you can lead people with a quiet, strong, burning passion, right? You can be a Jimmy Johnson type leader, or you can be a Tom Osborne leader. You can be an Urban Meyer or a Chris Peterson. You can be a Bill Belichick, or you can be a John Harbaugh. Like, look, they all uphold principles, but they have wildly different styles. When you start debating and judging people for style, we really open ourselves up to making a lot of mistakes. Do you see that? Do you see those things that I see, Keith? Do you see how that's confusing? Like, if I just take those two, don't talk about it, but be more vocal leader. Do you see how that, like, just immediately puts a player in a bind?
Yeah, when we, I guess, don't understand, I guess I have a question for you to follow up with this. I think when we don't understand that there are different styles than ours, and at least in being able to observe and see and separate the style from the principle, we make some, probably some errors in trying to force other people into our style. And you mentioned a lot of very good leaders and people, you know, coaches that would, everybody would recognize as, yeah, that guy was really good at what he does. I'm wondering, you know, and you've worked with some of the names that you mentioned there, is there a flexibility in their style, or at the very least a flexibility in how they're able to take in, you know, what's happening and separate the two and see, you know, that, yeah, maybe I wouldn't handle it this way. Maybe this doesn't reflect my style. Or that guy who can really work on a continuum and understand what maybe a particular situation requires in terms of style.
You know, it is. And I think we go to the big question. And, you know, I think we come back to conflict here in a minute, but looking at style and principle at a more global perspective, the question I ask myself, because look, do you like your style, Keith? Like, are you comfortable with the style you like?
Yeah, I think everybody's comfortable with their style.
Of course, yes. Yeah. of course you are. So am I. So if I were to go in, and you know, you listen to one episode with me, and you understand that I'm a juice guy. Like, I like energy. And so if I go into an environment where people tend to keep their mouth shut, do their work very methodical, and you know, they think that emotion is kind of frivolous, and you know, anybody who talks and expresses a whole lot must not be focused, and they associate those two things together, I'm going to walk in there and my style is going to irritate them. And they might confuse that style difference with me with, I don't really care the same way they do. And I won't uphold their standards. And then I might associate them with, well, boy, like, there's no way you can be successful working without energy like this. And there's no way that, you know, this is so boring that, you know, eventually everyone's just going to give up because this sucks so much, you know, of an environment to work in. And we can make that mistake from the beginning. So the way I overcome my attachment to my own style so that I don't degrade or undermine or miss the value in other styles is I always ask myself one question. Would the principle that matters to me be violated by that style? Or I'll ask it another way. Is it even possible for the principles I believe in to be achieved through this style that I'm observing? Is it possible? And here's the point. If anybody has ever done it, then yeah, it's possible. So the question is really, is it possible for the principle you believe in, you rely on, and you count on to be fulfilled or executed through this style that you see? Or maybe a different way. Is it possible for the principle you believe in to be fulfilled by any other style than your own? And the answer is, of course. Of course it's possible for that principle to be fulfilled through some style different than your own. It's just that you don't like it like that, because it's not your personal style. And so part of being a great coach, part of being a great person in this life, Keith, is being able to have the humility to say that, you know what, the principles I believe in can be achieved through a wide range of styles. I have mine and I like them, and other people have theirs and they like theirs. What I want to make sure is that the people who work with me on my team, you know, people I'm interacting with, I want to make sure that we get focused on the same principles. And then I want to make sure they've got enough freedom to use their styles. Now, ultimately, if our styles conflict too intensely, then obviously we'll, you know, if it's fingernails on the chalkboard, you know, and like it's impossible to be around the style. Okay, well then let's have that question, but let's still lock that into, look, I it's not that I don't believe in the principles. Like we don't disagree on the aim. It's just we go about it too differently to really get along this way. And so, you know, it's better for us to work separately or whatever. But but still don't undermine that person's commitment to the principles, or don't try to undermine their character because they have a different style. So that's what I look at, Keith, is I look at, is it possible for the principle to be achieved and lived through a style different than my own? And specifically, if I'm encountering somebody who has a different style than me, is I look at them and I say, is this style preventative from achieving the principle that I'm going after that I think matters the most here? And most of the time, the answer is no. Almost every time. I mean, very rarely do I encounter a style that is completely incapable of upholding principles that I believe in. It just doesn't happen very often. But it forces me to have a different lens. Is this person aiming for a different principle than me? Or are they just coming at it through a different style? And let me just expand it up real fast. The place that's really easy to see, and we're not going to have this conversation because this is not the place to have it. And frankly, I don't even really care other than the fact that I observe it. This is happening on the grand political scale right now, is everybody is watching styles for the most part, and then confusing them for principles, and then just absolutely going nuclear on everyone. It's what's happening at the large political scale. Like, everybody's looking at style and just getting mad at style, and then equating that with a principle. You know, it's like, you know, I can look at any politician, right, over the last 15 years and be like, look, I don't like that style. I don't like that style. But if I look at principle, yeah, most of them aren't necessarily violating some core principle for me. It's just, I just don't agree with the style. You know, like, they're all trying to help the country in this way. Well, not all of them. Right? You know, some of them are trying to make themselves rich. It's like, okay, well, we could go over those things. But we're just not even doing this at a grand scale. And so bringing it down, and we don't control any of that. But I do think people would be better if they looked and said, all right, is this a style or a principle issue? I'm like, really, really look at it. Really look at it, especially when there's conflict. And obviously there's a lot of conflict going on at the political spectrum here right now. Most of it, you know, useless and not real conflict. It's fake. Bringing it back down to our world, though, humility and empathy is a really important skill here. Really important skill here. And I think the first thing we ought to wrestle with when there's conflict is, okay, let's separate the principle from the style. And look, for some of you, this is going to be harder than you think, because you don't have a lot of reps at it. And you think you're talking principle and you're just talking style. For example, if you're mad at somebody for the way they said something, you are off principle and you're on style. I'm not saying style doesn't matter. I'm just saying you're not talking principle anymore. You're talking style. As soon as you say you shouldn't talk to somebody like that, right? That's a style preference, not principle. Like, that's what we got to look at. You know, any amount of this work is better than zero. And so keeping this heuristic in mind that we talked about earlier of style, swim with the current, principle, stand like a rock. Well, if you're going to stand like a rock, you better make sure you're not standing like a rock and fighting over styles, because that's just silly.
Yeah, BK, I think one of my favorite pieces of your teaching materials is the visual of that one big arrow pointing in a direction, and then inside of there, all these other little arrows still pointing in that same direction as the big one, but they're of different shapes, different widths, different colors, different lengths. The idea to me that's exactly it. The principle all has to be aligned. If you get that alignment in your program, that's an important thing. You are going to have to realize that there's all kinds of different styles. And I think in some ways, embrace it. I think, you know, if you're the leader of a program and you hire a bunch of guys who are exactly like you, there's going to be a big portion of, you know, your constituents, your players, who aren't going to mesh because of style. And, you know, that's tough for a younger person. It's tough for an adult. But it's even tougher for a younger person to understand, like, hey, our principles are all the same. We just have different styles. And so I always looked for that diversity in my staff and in coaching style when I could have that mix. And really, to me, it was being uncomfortable sometimes with the way a certain guy does things. That's not the way I would do it, but he's still having the effectiveness he needs with his particular players.
Right. And Yeah, I mean, we could go so deep on this. Let me see if I can communicate something that's like really real, that without having to like go dig in all emotional stuff. When somebody feels like they're committed to the principle, but they're just bringing their style, and then you attack the style, it feels like you're attacking their character, and it really pisses them off because they're already committed to the principle, but then it feels like you're doubting them based on some surface level thing. And I think almost all of us have felt something like that, where like somebody came at us for like, you know, the way we did something, and then made us feel judged for our style. And it doesn't feel good. And look, I mean, everyone in life is dealing with this. And again, I think a lot of people right now are attacking a lot of people for saying, look, I just don't like that style. There's nothing wrong with saying you don't like a style, but to be able to look at somebody and then judge them on character by saying you don't like the style, it's like, look, like I can just say, look, I'm not a fan of that style, but if it's yours, it's yours. The question is, can I work with it? Can I point it in the right direction? Is it aiming towards where we're going after? And then ultimately, is there value? Is there any value in a style different than yours? It's like it's why I have such a big problem with don't talk about it, be about it. Because people say like there's no value in somebody who talks and injects energy and excites people using words. It's like there's zero value there. I'm like, what? What are you talking about? Of course there's value there. We just need context, right? We need context. You know, people talk about don't question coaches. No, coaches need to be questioned. Now, how do we go about it, and what are the paths, and you know, what's the real objective? Are you questioning a coach to, you know, undermine him, to fire him? Okay, well, now we're disagreeing on principle. Or are you questioning a coach and you're just doing it aggressively? Which, okay, well, now maybe we're disagreeing on style. Like, I don't think it's a style to be aggressive on criticisms of coaches. Okay, great. So there's just, you know, I think we take a look at this and I don't think that we are going to suffer. And in fact, I think it's exactly the opposite. You know, and scale this up in life, right? On the large scale, you look at what's going on in the country, and you look at how many people. I mean, this is the thing. I mean, who listening right now has not directly observed somebody being completely like getting crushed, maybe even frankly losing their job or getting attacked by a mob over a style issue that everybody associated with a principle? They said a certain thing a certain way, and everybody took that as some violation of a core principle that made them a bad person. I mean, we see that weekly over and over and over again, right? It's almost like you're not allowed to have any different style than whatever the public approves of. And everybody hates it, except for the people who are trying to eradicate anybody from having any kind of personal style or approach. It's like, whatever style you choose, it violates my sensibilities, and therefore you got to, no. But let's take it down. And now let's go down and apply the same principle to coaching level. And you're doing the same thing. And coaches do this all the time. I see it. And again, I love you guys know I love coaches. I love this whole game, but I'm not going to pretend like there's things that aren't really big problems. And there's still too many coaches who vault style way too high, and they confuse it with principle. And there's no room to be an actual individual and be who you are. And anything different than whatever the coach says from a style perspective is an attack on a character. And a young person has no idea how to go against that. So they just keep their mouth shut. And they just quietly, secretly resent you. And you're undermining it yourself. And then let's bring it all the way down to a personal level. And how often in our personal relationships, in your personal relationships, maybe in the central relationship in your life, you're just getting mad at somebody over style. And you're associating it with who they are, rather than giving them the freedom to just be a different style than you. And you think it's a principal character issue because they have a different style, one that you don't choose. And it could be with your dad or your mom. It could be with your spouse. It could be with your kids.
Yeah, it's becoming
common. And you've just cut them off from being able to be a different individual than you are. And you've ignored principles that matter. Love, compassion, connectedness, and you vaulted up style. You talk too much. You criticize too often. You do this. You do that. You don't live the way that I want you to live. You know, tell me, you know, whatever the stuff that shows up in a marriage, right? Like you don't appreciate me. Why? Well, because you don't ask how my day was. And so many of these things are like style things. Next thing you know, the major conflicts show up because of style. You think, man, how much conflict could be avoided or overcome quickly if we got off style, became more flexible, humble, and empathetic, and we focused on principle instead. So it's heavy lifting. It's lifelong work, but it's something that I promise, if you put effort into this, it will pay dividends for your personal life, your professional life, and on a large scale in our society, you will be a contributing member to a better society 10 years from now than we have today.
BK, some great thoughts there. Again, the idea is, you know, we want coaches to be able to reflect on what they do. And I think great discussion today that handles some of those things. And we'll continue this throughout the season. I know something that gives me pause for reflection every morning is the daily discipline. And I highly encourage our coaches to sign up for that. It's something very simple, takes you a minute or two to read and think about and really affect some positive changes, at least in your mindset. How can our listeners get the daily discipline?
Go to dailydiscipline.com, put in your first name and your email address, and you will start the next weekday morning at 6 a.m. Eastern time. You will get that email. Focus on keeping them short, direct, and as applicable to your personal and professional life as I possibly can. So many people, it is how they start their day. It's the first thing they read in the morning when they roll over in their bed and they grab their phone, or they're on the treadmill, or they sit down at work. It's the first thing. It's the guiding focus of the day to set you in the right direction. And that's my objective. So we've been super fortunate. You know, we've got about 25,000 people, you know, who read it on a daily basis. And I'm very proud of that, but also very humbled by it. And so if that's something you're interested in, great. I will tell you, if you don't want a daily email, don't sign up for it, because this is the daily discipline. And some people, Keith, sign up for this, and then they say, hey, you email too often. And I tell them, it's called daily discipline. It's not called every now and then discipline. You signed up for something that came daily. That's a you issue. So there's an unsubscribe button on there, right there. So if you want it, great. If you want to try it out for 30 days. If you don't like it, click the unsubscribe. I'll never email you again. It's free. It's risk-free. And who knows? It could be one of the best things that you sign up for. So I hope you do. And if you don't, that's okay. I'll be fine also. I'm just here to give value to the people who want it.
BK, again, I appreciate you taking the time to share some things to help our coaches and leaders improve and make this game better. Follow Brian on Twitter at T Brian Kite. That's K-I-G-H-T. Follow me at Coach K Grabowski, and follow our Twitter handle for football coaches at FBDEV Coach. If you haven't noticed, we are in an in-season format, shorter episodes with a different focus each day. We try to cover everything from the leadership and culture that we talk about on Mondays all the way through to even scheme and some trends that we're seeing. So something for you every day of the week, short, simple, something you can listen to on your drive, on your workout, during your planning period. Please check it out and keep following us and let us know what we can do to help you solve some problems.
Thanks for listening to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. For more resources, visit the Coach Performance Center at usafootball.com.